Study is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. We'll have a reading of 20 through 23. Sister Gail.
And the Lord God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
In your reading there, in verse 21, you said, "And the Lord God."
Oh, wasn't it? Where was it?
We were all looking
at it. Yeah,
I was just wondering, you know. You say, "And the Lord God said, let the waters bring forth." That's what
I'm sorry.
Think he said. Well, that's all right. If I just wanted to know if...
It's not there.
If it's there or not. Because this is true, because in the Hebrew, this is brought out a little later. Verse 20. "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." Now, this has to do with water. Any comments on this?
Well, just one thing, thinking of what a great proportion of the earth is water, that if it's going to be filled with this life, to the extent that it indicates here, there would have to be some kind of an acceleration of this process.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if some translations put it a little different. See what here. Brother Russell, in the sixth volume, under the subcaption, "The Fifth Creative Day," page 35, in quoting this text, words it this way, doesn't say what translation. "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms," plural, "swarm with swarms of living creatures," which indicates a tremendous proliferation. And that this multiplication of life was not merely miraculous, but just astounding. Yes?
Yeah, well, waters, could that mean then there's two types, salt and fresh, and that they would be each getting their own kind?
Yes. I would think probably particularly true this would be in the salt water, the saline water, which is the bulk of the fresh water is very limited supply in the world. It's filtered from underground springs and things like that, so it comes forth pure over a long process, but as far as the bulk of the water, it's practically all saline. Now, I wonder if this is here. Let's see. Oh. Interesting here. In that same writing, in the sixth volume, Brother Russell says this: "No man knoweth," and it's unwise to be dogmatic, "it is not for us to dispute that even the protoplasm of the Paleozoic slime may not have come into existence through chemical action of the highly mineralized waters." This is what scientists today are saying of those seas. "What we do claim is that all came about as a result of divine intention and arrangement, and hence were divine creations, whatever were the channels or agency. And we claim that this is shown by the facts of nature, no less than the words of Genesis, that however the creatures of the sea were produced, they were brought to the condition in which each is of its own kind, where the line of species cannot be overridden. This is God's work, by whatever means brought about. So he's suggesting here that this lower form of life could possibly have started from a chemical action. But even that, more and more as time goes on, I think of everything being computerized. From a protoplasm to electrons to whatever it is, that everything animate and inanimate is programmed and can come, God can make come into being as he sees fit. Some of these things we can capitalize on our knowledge of the computer. Or chemists today, what are they trying to do? What they call genetic, I think they call it engineering. Genetic engineering. A knowledge of these laws that they can produce bacteria, viruses, to some cases to be counteract disease or to make plants grow in what would otherwise be sterile fields, so forth. But it must be that this is programmed to, in order to do that, that from order you can create other orders. I mean, you can do some manipulations, which scientists are doing today, both in biology, chemistry, physics. That's how the atom bomb was created. A knowledge of this, the power that held the atom together and what the potential in energy is, E equals mc squared, by breaking off an electron, this was capitalized on that explosive force. But that was there. It was in God's design of the matter. And this is inanimate matter that this program.
Yes.
Yes.
In verse 20, in the margin for moving, my Bible suggests creeping, but wouldn't moving be more accurate for the creatures that are in the waters?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
On the margin, my Bible suggests living, like in verse 24, where it uses the word living creature. The idea, I was thinking that the idea is now there are living creatures that have like a sense of consciousness, as opposed to in the past there was only living plant matter and that sort of thing, and that this is, it seems to be a new type of creation now.
Well, when you think of living and moving, let's see, in mine it says seven, it says creeping in mine, but I think moving would be a better word. And verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. We didn't read the second half of verse 20 about the fowl flying above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So notice that verse 21 reviews verse 20, both as respects living creatures moving, both verses, and the fowl that are mentioned in both cases, as though one helps to shed light on the other. Now, the verse 21 is necessary because why?
it says after their kind, and it also has God's pronouncement as being good.
Right. If this, as Brother Russell suggests, that in this Paleozoic slime, even the protoplasm of the Paleozoic slime may have come into existence through chemical action of the highly mineralized waters, so forth. Verse 20 suggests, the Lord just says, let this happen, and it happens. Now, if this first moving creature is the lowest type of life, in his day, and in my day when I started, we had the two lowest forms. I don't know about today because I haven't gone to school, but there used to be the amoeba and the
protozoa.
Yeah.
Protozoa.
Yeah. That these were the two lowest forms. Now, let us say they come into creation through a chemical action. But you notice they don't have heads, legs, fins, so forth.
They divided, didn't they?
They divided, yes. That is, let us say that it was a chemical action, that part. But the next verse shows that taking advantage of this lowest type of life, now the Lord instructs that basic form and designs the various bacteria, the viruses, and the whatever life it is. He designed that. It didn't just happen to be, because they each have their kind. They maintain their kind and they develop. But so, like verse 20, as I would understand, is showing the very basic type of the moving creatures in the waters, which in the next verse he tells he designed it, which is a different thought than just chemical action. In other words, these amoebas and protozoa developed into other forms, and once it did, that it stayed that way. Yes, that variety.
The definition, Strong's definition of moving seems to substantiate that. It defines moving as swarm, that is, active mass of minute animals.
And notice that God created great whales. In other words, they did not evolve. The whale did not evolve. Whale. There may be different kinds of whales, which there are. I mean, all colors, shapes, and so forth. But that he designed it. That the whale should look like it does today, that was God's purpose, God's design. And then after that it says, it mentions, and every living creature that moveth. In other words, God created these microscopic forms, or whether they're large or whether they're small, they were all designed. But verse 20 suggests, allows the possibility that when he said, let the water swarm with it, that there's this basic type first. And then that being produced, he, like, declared, this goes this way, this goes that way, so... notice on the computers today, I don't operate them now like I did one time some years back, but they can even do drawings and things like that. And you instruct through a keyboard the drawing. You may have a mouse and other things that are involved, little things, but you create certain things. I'll be with you in a minute. You create certain things by instructing. You instruct the computer what you want, and you read into it those things, and it'll do those drawings because it's made. It's made to respond to your instructions, the original format of it, the wiring and so forth. And so with all matter, animate or inanimate, which has this this code-like arrangement in it, whether it's DNA or whatever it is, or minerals, the various minerals and so forth, have this code, so you can, like, make it do, I'm talking about God in this case, can instruct it what to do, and it'll respond exactly what you want. So out of this swarm life, he says, let a whale be created. But he puts into that the design he wants. So all these then, all matter, animate and inanimate, is there, and it can respond to whatever God will. For instance, supposing the Lord said, I want you to just disappear. Disappear. You would atomize. You would vaporize if he said that. But nobody else could do that. Nobody else could say to that just by their voice say that. And that's why God is the creator. He is the author and the mover of all, so that he does not have to physically exert himself. By his voice, just like we do with a finger, do certain things, he can, by voice control, make it do whatever he wants. So out of this mineralized development, which seems to be suggested from not only by Brother Russell, way back here, suggesting that, which science today is just getting around to. All right, now, Tom.
It was Tommy, right?
Yes.
Oh. I was gonna say that in school we have something that's called CAD in my drafting course. It's computer-aided drafting. You turn on the computer, it automatically loads up a hard disk, and you have a menu off to the side, and you just pick what you want it to do, and then you type in the coordinates, and it just, you know, draws up whatever.
Well, the coordinates are really, you're instructing it. Yeah. That's your instruction. You know what it'll do because it's been programmed.
Well, somebody had to program it onto our.
Yeah, well, it's been programmed originally, but we can take advantage of this instrument that's been already programmed to make it do. But this with God, he can do anything. I mean, he doesn't have to have it. He has it programmed his way. Yes.
I just think an example that was like Philip, wasn't it, after he immersed the Ethiopian, then he was found in another place.
Azotus.
So he would have to have been, right? You wouldn't see him flying this way. He probably was disengaged somehow, rather from his body, and then putting his body in another area.
Or transferred, and it uses the word there it's in the Greek, of course, but this is the Book of Acts. But the same thing with Elijah's translation. It's an bodily translation from one place to another. All right, now. This is quite exciting because the science today, they don't know what they're missing. I mean, they're so close to the trees, they don't see the woods. They got their nose too close to realize who we are, what we are, where we're going. Everything is in God's hands. Yes.
This idea of after their kind. I thought that I'm a little confused about here, where you're saying that God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. The idea of where evolution, not evolution, but the concept of things evolving fits into creation, and at what point God said create, and at what point God said, God allowed things to evolve and then fix the species.
Well, what I'm saying is in verse 20, he says, let the water swarm.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests just a prolific explosion of life, but in its simplest form. And then from that, he created every moving creature after its kind. He created it. The whales, not only the great whale, but the most minute. That's what's kind of being contrasted here. It's like with electrons. What about the various minerals? What about these electrons? Are they different than from one another? No, they're either positive or negative. They're neutral. They're not. I'm not neutral in charge, but they are. Like you have carbon, you have zinc, you have iron, and they're all made of the same components. They're all made of electrons and atoms. Atoms and electrons, protons, whatever it is. But those things are not like a form. They are a force of energy. These are energy. And no head, no shape along that. They're just electron. Power there. But when they are, like you say, coordinated, the coordinates are, when you find them in nature a certain way, you say, well, this one has so many C13, H24, oxygen O15, or something like that. And that combination of these things that are all the same, their atoms and so forth, they're the same in everything, no matter what you look at. Same with these living creatures. There's great variety, but it started with one mass of, like, neutral things. So when you look at an amoeba, it has no particular shape, and it takes some peculiar forms when you look under a microscope. The way it, not only the way it divides and so forth, but there are other things about it. It's like a shapeless mass, but it's there, and it's life. And so here, when this life came forth, which did not exist earlier except, like you mentioned, with the vegetation of the previous day, now you're coming into sort of like an animal sort of thing arrangement, creatures called here, that from that basic material he made the various species, no matter what they were, whether it's the whale or the most minute, those things, and they then became fixed. And they regenerated their own kind, did not metamorphosize from one to another. Incidentally, I don't want to get into another subject now.
No. I didn't write that.
All right.
But yes. Then, Frank, we would not say that these all had to come about in a longer way than it was when he created the atom. That was a direct creation. These are all a gradual process, until it reached a certain type of thing that he had in mind, and then he stopped it.
Yeah. In other words, scientists today, when they look, they figure billions and trillions of years. But the Bible doesn't say that. And we say each creative day is only 7,000 years long. Well, they think that's preposterous. I mean, you're back in the Dark Ages, they think. But this other concept, where everything is programmed and God just has to say something, it'll do it, and it doesn't need a million years or a billion years to do it, what he wants it to do. And from that standpoint, then, they're talking about these fossils, even this week, even you'll read the Nature parts, almost every week they're bringing up, they're finding something in the sediment or something, and trying to give it an age, so many million years and so forth. Because they cannot see this other aspect of everything being programmed, and that it just has to be stated and it'd be done. Now, there's some things are done with time, but that time is infinitesimal. A scientist thinks of that 7,000 years. Why, that's nothing. That's like just one tick of a clock. In their concept, they think of it having to evolve over, a long, long period of time. But that's not the case. And he just says, let the waters swarm with swarms, plural. And it was done. Then he gives each a definite. That's the thing that takes time. He designs them one by one, right? Each is a creation. In other words, I cannot say that that there are ten creatures, and he designed them all exactly at the same moment, and they develop exactly. No, they're individual concepts. He designed this, he designed that. That's the thing that took time. Not the making of it. The making of it is just his voice. He gives it instruction. And he wanted a whale. That whale had to be designed. He knew where how it breathed and all its insides and everything. He had all that has been thought out. That was something. That's the thing that took more time than the other. Therefore, you need the 7,000 years just from the standpoint of making the variety of the various creatures.
And some of that matter that was living, it could be also swarms. Does have to be there are also flowers down at the bottom of the water that are living, and they swallow things. There's all kinds of other weird things that is swamping.
All
down
that
there.
Has been planned and designed, and will have infinite lessons. Just as the universe is infinite, so this variety is just inconceivable. The lessons that are going to be taught from those things. Yes?
I think I said something wrong before when you said amoeba and, did I say protozoa? I meant, excuse me, paramecium.
Paramecium, yeah.
And then I said the protozoa, excuse me.
Oh. The protoplasm means, proto means only first. Plasm, first. It's like primordial slime or gookum, that life. That in that that undeveloped force that existed, these various patterns were made. So I see verse 21 and verse 20 as the 21st verse is necessary to show that while he gave instructions, just swarm with waters, and they did, that of that life, he changed and made these various things. Each living creature he created, in addition to the great whales. Otherwise, it's just plain repetition, which I do not think it is, even though it uses the same terminology. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." I like to think of it just that it's that. You know, we are the ones that try to, this has to be something very elaborate. But it just says he did it. He said. And I like to take it exactly the way the Bible says.
That's
right. Yes.
If we take the words in those three verses and put them together, abundantly, twice, fruitful, multiply, fill, it really is powerful. But there is a contrast between the sea creatures and the winged fowl. They didn't have that same rapid proliferation. Is that correct? Not stressed to the same degree.
That's right. And another thing, you'd have a problem if the sky was that filled. You'd have a lot more accidents, and not just with the airplanes. The droppings and other things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, go on.
This idea, could part of the reason of having the waters be so filled, because that was where then the earth creatures, the land creatures came from, so their multiplication was like that the next step was that some of these creatures that were in the water started coming to land?
That's really getting into evolution, and it's taking up at a higher, I don't see it that way. I think it was designed to be the mammal as a mammal, those that are half and half, that they were designed to do that. They did not evolve to that. But the lowest forms, that's another thing. The swarming of the
base
in the waters, that's another matter. They look at that as a proof, see. But you don't find, with all this talk, there should be a lot of fossils showing this exact change. No, they what they do. They have two specimens, and boy, the words they use to connect one with the other. It's like a whole treatise to try to say this evolved from this. A fish thought he'd jump out of the water, and he jumped up, and he got, and he thought, well, this is pretty good here for a while. And then he developed one of his fins. He had fins to move in the water. Well, he thought, if I broaden it a little bit, I can flap in the air and stay up a little longer. And then as time went on, a couple million years, the fins grew longer and longer and got feathers and so forth, and they were able to stay up there. But, yeah.
Obviously, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, this is their proof of evolution.
Yeah. We haven't gotten into 24 yet. Maybe I should wait till we get there. Because at the beginning it says, let the earth bring forth. It seems like it's some matter which the Lord has already created that's on the earth that causes these living creatures to create.
All right, well, when we get to that, we'll... it's still... This can be harmonized the same way, but it's certainly a different element. You in this one, we had, this is the fifth created day, we have air and water. Let the fly, the fowl fly in the midst of heaven, or the atmosphere, and the fish move in the waters. And then you come later with the dry land. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. How much time do we got now?
20 minutes.
Let's read the next two verses, please.
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
All right. This is exactly like verse 20 and 21. Here, verse 25 modifies or explains verse 24. Now, just as you had in the waters this low form of life, so you have now in the earth. We think when you look at a, let's say, a cow and a person, a human being, you don't think of them as earth, but they actually are. We the elements, we are so many elements in our body. If we're reduced to ashes, they'll tell you how much percent of potassium and so forth we are. And it tells in the beginning when God made man that he formed him out of the dust of the ground. So it was out of earth material, that out of this material of earth, he made a form of a man and breathed into it and became a living soul. That, of course, comes later. But the same thing here, it says, let the earth bring forth. Now it's suggesting something in a very low plateau of development, very low in its development. But then in the next verse, it says, he made this, he created these. Just as with the fish and the whale, so forth, he programmed it so that a dog is a dog, a sheep is a sheep, a human is a human, all the various ones from this low form they developed into. Now, if you were to take these and reduce it in nature, dehydrate and so forth, you come down, you have something that looks like a piece of paper or something. Some of these mummies, they were once flesh and blood beings, and they died, and they then when they're a cadaver, and you pick them up, they're like a stick. They're dried out. And they even thought of, was it Pepe, or one of the pharaohs? They thought he was a fish. When they found it, they didn't know it was a human being at first. Till finally they recognized when they turned it. But when they discovered it, they didn't recognize it. So from this earth material, that now when we look at ourselves and reduce, you don't think of yourself as being composed a certain amount. Let us say we're 85% or 95% water, our being, our body. And then the rest are these various minerals. But we don't think of it in that light. But these minerals now, these minerals are like elements. They're more like earth type of thing. Potassium, if you make it, you can see it. You can push it around a certain thing. But oxygen, you can't push it around. If you had oxygen here, you can't, you can't weigh it on the scale that way. You have to weigh it in the gas. You have to weigh the gas. So these atoms, which make up a person, we're made up of RNA, DNA, and so forth. We're as a little seed when we start. It's programmed to develop legs, arms, a head, and so forth. And another one is to be a moo cow. It's not to be a bird. This thing is a cow. But if you were to look at it originally, they all look alike. Just like looking at the amoeba or the paramecium. You look at them, they're all peculiar shape, but not anything that is with like logic. But life, yes, life, you see. Well, the same with this other. It starts with a little teeny seed, which grows according to a code into some living creature that's on land, that is on a land surface. So when it says, let the earth bring forth, you don't think of it in the sense that it like jumps out of the earth. It's in the earth. It's the material exists, all these elements, but not in the shape of a man, but the same instruction, the same God who made the cow, the dog, man we know is a separate creation, and that's put separately for me. But let's take a sheep, a cow, a dog. And that reduced, they are made up also of the same atoms, basic parts. But one comes out one way and one comes out another way, based on these the cellular type from a cell. So a human develops from, instead of an amoeba or the paramecium in that sense, it's like a cell, from one cell. But that cell is a world or universe in itself, inside that cell. But our microscopes, now, of course, they have a different type of magnification than they did in my day when you could look at the cell. But they find that in that is like a little universe itself, just like any matter, solid matter. They can indirectly, they even make mock-up diagrams of the component parts of minerals. Well, the same, but they're all made of the same thing. And the same with a man is flesh, a dog is flesh, a cow is flesh. See, it's a different type. These are what you'd call like land creatures. And so when it says, let the earth bring forth, it's just telling the basic component parts of this of earthen material make up all that we see today.
Hey Frank?
Yes.
What is the component that makes the difference between conscious life and unconscious life, like the animals versus the plants? Because that to me seems to be a missing component in the elements from the earth.
Well, the others, they depend for their existence upon some sort of air or gas. They need something extraneous to maintain life. The others are self-existing. For instance, an atom of a mineral, an iron, it doesn't. But the other has to grow. And it's this growing process that you need, whether it's the fish in the water, needs oxygen, but it can do it through its skills and so forth. So a human also, it has to grow. And this is what makes it quite different. Now, plant also has to grow. They do have some form of brain, but not like a person who can worship God or can predict an eclipse or something like that. That cognition is of a different type, but they have to have a mind or a brain. Where a plant can just be just like a machine itself. It's a robot. We can make robots, but to make a flesh being, which might be considered by some like a robot in that sense, is different. It's that difference. It's the difference between a robot and the other thing. The other thing is living material, and it needs to have oxygen to survive. And generally, plant life is the opposite. It needs carbon dioxide to live. All your green matter, it needs carbon dioxide, and it gives off oxygen. Man needs oxygen and gives off carbon dioxide. So both need a gas. See, that's what I said originally, but different type. So your green matter needs the carbon dioxide and the sunlight too, and a man needs sunlight, but they need the oxygen. There is a difference even that way, let alone some kind of a stimuli or center of that can be like an insect, little microscope. If you put something in front of it, it'll go around it. Or if you put something too hot, it'll avoid it. But not because it thinks it out, it's just because it's based on stimuli. But nevertheless, that's different than some other things. Yes. Yes, Tom.
Well, I want to say that between plants and animals, plants make their own food. They manufacture their own food out of the raw materials around them. And animals have to move around to go out and get their food, whether it's plants or other animals.
Well, that's a general distinction, but actually you have plants that eat animals. In some of these dense countries, you have flowers that trap birds, insects. They attract it, and it closes over it and assimilates it. So that's just a general observation that we look around, we see it in that sense. That, but a plant, too, depends on the plant, needs man in one way or another, generally speaking, but this is not an exception. It's the kind that are useful. Yes?
I'm not sure. I think Sister Dawn may have been referring to this, the concept of pneuma, where I guess in the scriptures it speaks of the animals having a spirit, and just as man has a spirit. But
I thought she was going to be beyond that. That's a soul, let's say, every soul. The beast in the Old Testament are called possessed souls, and a man possessed a soul. But we're talking that pneuma. This is a very deep subject. The first going back, it has to do with the, like air. Pneumatic, it means air. But back of that, as far as man is concerned, there's more than that. The soul of a man is quite different than the soul of a beast in that it's going to have a resurrection. There's a memory bank. God has a memory bank. Each soul is a separate, distinct individual with a name and characteristics and so forth. That it's a more personalized sort of thing, the pneumo of a man. But one thing is that's in common with all is the breath part. Oxygen, I call it. The other, carbon dioxide, with plant life.
Brother Frank?
Yes.
Because of this differentiation with the breathing, with the soul, I'm having a little bit of a problem where it says, let the earth bring forth the living creature. If it's just coming from the substance of the earth, where is this missing?
It doesn't say swarm.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be pretty easy to understand. It seems like God created that matter, put it there, it swarmed and developed.
Yeah.
But here on the earth now, it seems a little different. And that's why I was getting the idea that maybe the earth creatures came from that original.
No, because all earth creatures have all of them. Certain basic component parts that are alike, only arranged differently, whether it's a human or an animal, basically. The only thing with man is there was a man named Adam that God particularly made, but when the procreation process later on, where the man is regenerated, I'm taking it from that standpoint, where you have a common denominator with the beast as far as a flesh being, having life. And thinking it from that standpoint, they all now the earth did not just generate itself. God told it to bring forth, but the next verse, not swarm with it, but the next verse says he made everything. In other words, this, all these were designed. He gave instruction for all kinds of flesh creatures. They were given their code, their genetic code, that would make them up. And then they replicated themselves. God made these creatures so they could reproduce. And in that, he says, be fruitful and multiply, that reproduction part. And that's true with man. He said to Noah when he came after the flood, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That part, he did not create each individual that way. That process, that replication was followed because he's dealing now with a person who has a free moral agency and knows what God wants and what he does not approve of and so forth. But these others were like robots, only when they were originally created, having their own being able to reproduce, that's where they differ. The robot doesn't reproduce. So we had the fifth creative day we started that had to do with water and air. The sixth creative day had to do with soil, earth. And the creatures that were arranged from such substance. And so they can be reduced to a common denominator, all flesh beings. And insects and so forth can be all reduced to certain common denominator component parts, but not arranged in a certain order.
Yes. You're saying insects were created at this time too?
No, it doesn't say here.
No, about well, we
about
mentioned insects, and that's yeah. why I wondered why you were yeah. introducing them.
No, but I'm saying that this is something of a solid material that if that were analyzed under a microscope, they could tell the component parts of that and another thing, component part. But there are some other things you cannot know too well. So in science, there's ethereal things and there's things with substance that you can see. Others you can't see, they're invisible, but they exist. Such as oxygen. But of course you can make it liquid oxygen. Same with hydrogen. You can do things with hydrogen and see it, a form, but not in its natural state. Where other things in their natural state, you can see them. But both are real in the sense that they are. All can be reduced to a common denominator. So I see everything as programmed, and I don't see this long billions of years, and no difficulty there. I think this we've covered. And God made the beast of the earth. See, notice in verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In other words, he created them. He designed them specifically. But now when they reproduce, that's another matter.
Right, yes. Right. Being that it says all the creeping things, and couldn't you assume then that, like Sister Gail said earlier, wouldn't the insects then have been
sure.
created too?
Oh, yeah.
And all the other things, the lizards and whatever
yeah.
have you, that creep along the ground?
Well, they're the same substance, as mentioned, the same substance. Whether it's a man or a beast or an insect or they are all what we call solid or some made of something. All right, we close then here with a word of prayer.